Hey everyone, it's Michelle.
And Brayden.
And this is Spooky Shit. So this week we are going to be talking about serial killers. I am going to start by talking about the Bloody Benders.
And then I am going to talk about David Edward Most.
Warning, this episode may contain graphic details. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, before we start, we have a bit of announcement for everyone who doesn't follow us on social media. And honestly, messed up that we made an announcement the last episode. Last episode, we were like, yeah, we're going to do an episode every other week now. So if you don't follow us, you probably noticed we didn't post an episode 2 weeks after that. Like we said, we have decided that we're going to take an indefinite hiatus, One Direction style, and break. That's what I've been telling everyone, because they're like, you're taking a break. And I was like, One Direction said that. What if we don't go back? What if we're just like One Direction? But I won't think like that.
True. Leah was Zayn.
Leah was Zayn left early, and now we're just the rest of them like, all right.
And the rest of us just decided to take a hiatus.
Yeah, we're going to take a big hiatus. Clearly it's needed because we didn't even record last week. I only just finished researching like this morning at 6 a.m. Like, I know we need a break. Hopefully it's something that we could come back to eventually. But for the time being, we're both just like busy as fuck.
Basically. Yeah. Like, because it's funny because it's like I was telling them. Because before it has come up where I'm like, oh no, I can't because I gotta record, and they're always like, bruh, like, you know, because it in a way could be like an inconvenience, but I mean, I always defended it because I'm like, you know, I actually enjoy doing it, like, yeah, yeah. Like, kind of fucks with my plan sometimes, but like, it does take
it's not like we hate doing this.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Like, yeah, I mean, it fucks with my plans, like, I do have to, like, put more time and effort into, like, researching and stuff like that, but, I mean, I actually enjoy doing it. Like, I defend it all the time, and I'm like, you know, like, I actually enjoy it. Like, it's not, it's not a drag, but, yeah. I mean, I guess now it kind of is becoming one, just because, you know, we're both so busy with other shit that it's just kind of like, oh, fuck, like, it's been a week already, like, it's time to record another one, like.
Literally, it sucks. Because I'm like, I wish that I still had the energy to research. Like, I don't know how I was doing this shit before working full time. Maybe it's just because my schedule's weird with streaming as the job thing. Because I'm just like, I feel like I wake up and like, I only have my 2 days off. And I feel like I just wake up and I have to like research one of my days off and record the other day I'm off. So I don't really have time off.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
Yeah. I mean, only days I get off is the weekends, but. Even then, I'm, like, not really, like, today I woke up at, like, 8:30,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, bruh, because I'm freaking tired. Like, if I could, I would have slept in until, like, 1, but,
Yeah, we're recording this at 4 p.m., just, yeah. Like, for some reference there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just because we always have plans on the weekend, too, because, you know, with my family and stuff, like, they know I don't work, and they want me there, so I don't really get to, like, nap or anything. But yeah, I'm just really tired.
I'm going to ask, what do you think you're going to do on weekends now without the podcast? Instead of being like, how have you been? I'm like, what will you be in the future?
I mean,
imagine next weekend. Sleeping.
Bleeping.
I'm just going to be asleep.
Yeah, I'll probably just sleep. Or, I mean, it depends. Most of the time, there's like, plan stuff for us, or like she'll tell me like the day of, like, oh hey, I forgot to tell you, we got invited to this, we're going, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Little social butterflies.
Yeah, we kind of are, because like, I mean, I get weekends off, but it's, I feel like I'm never really off, like we're always doing something.
Yeah.
Usually Sundays are like the kick it days where we just stay home, lounge, and just, you know, decompress.
Yeah.
And like get ready for the new week, but I don't think much is I don't think much is gonna change other than that, like, instead of like stressing of trying to fit it in, like, you know what I mean, I could take a nap now or
yeah,
stuff like that, because I used to like try to research before school or sometimes even during school.
Oh my god.
Which is not good. I remember one time I actually did do my research during school, and I mean, it was a theory day, which we do use like our laptops and iPads and stuff like that, but I was just like looking very studious.
Oh my gosh, what a bad student.
Right? But it was funny because I just kept getting distracted. It literally took me all 5 hours to do research because I kept getting distracted by my classmates.
I know, I've been having such a hard time getting distracted just by like nothing too. Last night, whenever I finished, I had to just turn on white noise online and turn it up really loud to be like, just focus.
Yeah, that's another thing. It has been a little harder just to like focus because it does feel like, oh, like fuck, like again, you know?
Yeah. I was telling people on like my stream about it too, how even though I want to keep doing it, especially since we talk about real people so frequently, we can't half-ass the research.
Yeah.
So like we need to focus and actually like research well, because obviously we don't want to get it wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that we could just continue and be like, yeah, we just won't research as hard. Like that wouldn't really be a good
idea. It's not fair.
And
I guess that's what kind of adds on. Is that pressure of like you don't want to like mess up in any of the information, and just because like we aren't fully in it, we just like feel bad.
Yeah,
like you know.
We had a good run though, almost 3 years.
I know.
We started before COVID.
That's crazy.
Remember whenever we first started? Because Leah was in it too. If you're an OG, you know my sister used to be in this where she abandoned us like several months in. We went like 2 years without Leah, but I remember whenever I first started, everyone would come over to our apartment and we would have a big bag of chips and a big thing of bitchin' sauce and be like, do you guys need any drinks? We're like little hostess.
Yeah.
That lasted like 2 months, then COVID hit.
Literally. Then we kind of had to work around it, but.
But I never saw you ever again.
Yeah, that's true.
We used to record with our mask on and just take turns taking off our masks.
Yeah,
wait,
I remember.
In person, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a while before we actually went, like, distance.
I know, we should have honestly done that earlier. We didn't really start going distance till after we get vaccinated. I'm like, damn, we were risky before. Holy shit.
Oh,
hindsight,
yeah,
maybe not the smartest decision.
I mean, it is crazy to think about, like, how it started. You know, we're just at work and you had, like, talked about it. You know, it was just an idea. Yeah, I remember you had asked me like if I would be down. I was like, fuck yeah, like that's cool.
Oh, I wish that we could still focus on it. Thinking about it like that, I'm like, yeah, it's so fun, let's keep doing it. But then I know logically, like, I have no fucking energy for it.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I remember researching it at work. I would listen to podcasts about the stuff that we were researching, and then I would just go and like type up notes on break and stuff. Maybe also part of the reason that research was easier then is that job, I could just listen to shit all day. When I'm streaming, I can't exactly listen to this research.
Very true. And I think that's true, because I used to, like, the other job, it was more, like, flexible versus at my newer job. Like, you can't listen to music. Like, it's very, like,
it's true.
I'm actually probably going to quit soon, because I just, I don't like it there, you know?
Yeah, do it.
And also because I basically have a managing supervisor.
I hate that.
And it's just, it just irks me, like, in general, people like that. But then I think it even bothers me more because I know my worth ethic. And it's, like, it almost offends me in a way.
Yeah. You're like, bro, not me.
Yeah, like, literally, not me. Like, I see some of your fucking senior employees be taking more than a 10-minute break, which is what we're supposed to take. So, how about you go over there?
Go bother them, not me.
Well, yeah.
Do you think you have another full-time job?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I do graduate soon in December.
Okay, that's like, another huge thing. We started this unit. Oh, now you're about to graduate.
I know, that is crazy.
Oh, my God.
We
also
started
you fucking
this.
Started transitioning. Like, that's another big one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have both done a lot of things, like, since we started. Like, we were both working at the same place.
I know.
And, you know, shit happened there.
Yeah, it was easy to research there, but they did lay us both off eventually.
Yeah.
That part is shitty.
Which was whatever. But, I mean, it's cool because I did meet nice people. You know, I met you. I met, like, you know who you are.
Everyone listening, like, me?
No, not you.
No, not you. You think it's you? Make sure. Is it actually you?
I guess since then, you know, we have, like, well, for me, I started school. I'm about to graduate, transition, that's and so all that.
Crazy.
Like, it's, yeah. It's, like, crazy to think about.
Did you want to do a shout out? You have a barber Instagram page now if anyone wants to follow and see what he's up to.
Yes. If you would like to follow me on my barber Instagram page, that would be great. It's at Brayden B. Faden. Get it?
Brayden B. Faden. I don't think I read it out loud in my head like that.
How'd you read it?
I think I just saw Brayden B. and then I thought it was like a fancy name. Like, I don't know, like a hair thing. Not Faden, like...
Like fading. Yeah. I know. I thought about just spelling it normally.
Mm-hmm. Like fading. This is more cool.
But I was like, Brayden B. Faden.
I'll spell it for everyone. Brayden _ _FADEN. So Brayden and Faden are direct rhymes because you changed the spelling.
Yeah, I even thought about putting a Y in Faden to like really. Like put it
really
like
make
name.
It fancy,
but I was like, nah, that's too much.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, if you would like to follow me, follow my journey as a barber, that'd be nice.
See what he's up to.
Yeah, I definitely feel more confident in my hair cutting skills.
You've gotten so much better. It's crazy.
Yeah, some of those pictures, those are actually older pictures. Like I haven't posted some of my newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I took forever to make this damn Instagram. I had been talking about it. But I will shout out Jenny from school because she's basically the one that's been on my ass. Dude, why haven't you done it? Like, do it. Like, make it. And then yeah. I made it. And then I had it on, like, private and I hadn't, like, updated, like, the bio, anything. And she was like, bro, like, come on. And then I was like, okay. And then, yeah, I, like, finally did it. And then she was, like, one of the first ones to follow me and, like, all the stuff I was posting. And I was like, thank you, Jenny. Because, like, you know, I needed that little push.
Yeah. And now you can advertise and hopefully get clients after you graduate.
Yeah. I mean, but, yeah, I was like, I kind of do wish I would have done it earlier, like, as I was in school.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, it's cool. So now I'm just trying to backtrack. And upload, like, some of my old, like, pictures I have of cuts I've done.
Everything.
Yeah. That you have. I will eventually make it to the newer stuff.
What are you going to upload pictures of my wigs that you cut the bangs for?
I didn't even take pictures.
We should have. Of the one with the black wig that was all styled. Just looks ridiculous in my blonde eyebrows.
I was like, just come in and I can do your undercut.
True. I know. I will have to do that sometime. You can make it fancy.
I was like, I actually did an undercut the other day. I just haven't posted it.
You need to get on posting.
I know, I do.
Without having to research, now you have more time to post them.
True. I was like, you want to see?
I do want to see, actually. Oh, fancy. I like it.
Yeah, it's like a little heart. Another, like, line Z looking.
It's pretty. I like it. I need something like that. I need to look fancy. Yeah, we'll definitely go sometime. I don't know. It's just because you're far.
Yeah.
But now that we're not recording, we'll have to make time for it.
Yeah, come get the cheese, man.
Yes. I know. I was telling him, I was like, are we still going to have, like, FaceTime sessions to update each other on the hot gossip? Like, I don't know. Because before we record, we always talk for, like, 30 minutes to an hour. I think we even talked, like, 2 hours before if it's, like, extra spicy that week.
Just a little of life updates that we didn't necessarily want to share on the podcast.
Yeah, updates that I don't think other people would appreciate us sharing on the podcast.
Yeah, probably not.
They're not our updates. That makes it sound very gossipy. But it's not like bad stuff. It's just like being like, did you see blah, 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 did blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. just people we know and stuff.
Yeah, though probably don't want shout outs but saying their personal business to strangers.
Probably not, you're right.
But who knows, should we just do it? Just start a gossip podcast?
You're not down.
I'm not down. Never mind. I can't handle the repercussions.
I was like, yeah, people would hate us.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, what you been up to? Just streaming?
I'm just streaming. If any of you guys do want to see like what I'm up to as well, like I post on Instagram. Sometimes I'm honestly not great about it for Boon Babe, but Boon Babe, it's BUNEBAPE. I'm like telling you guys if you want to see what we're up to after spooky shit, this is where we will be active now on our own respective pages. But yeah, just been streaming. We actually have merch for Boon Babe now, so I'm very excited. I haven't gotten anything yet, but I ordered something. And it's like, I just got like a hat that, or a beanie that just says Boon Babe. There's websites that do have beanies that you can make. We couldn't find it.
Wow.
It's annoying. And now I found one. But I ordered one from another shop, this streamer that I'm kind of friends with who lives in Argentina. And like, it low-key like made my forehead really dry. So hopefully my other one doesn't do that. I have like a red mark on my forehead. Also, it's just winter, so it's cold. But yeah, we have merch now. We're going to start doing Discord movie nights. We're doing a movie night tonight. If you want to watch a scary movie at 1 a.m., you can join. Someone recommended 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and no one else recommended a time. So I was like, okay, I guess we're doing that. So at 1 a.m., I'm going to watch a movie on Discord.
Sheesh.
Fucking ridiculous.
What movie are you watching?
Either Hush or The Witch, which I haven't seen. We wanted to watch a scary movie. We're like kind of half joking, half serious about just watching The Haunting of Hill House. But I did a poll and someone voted no. So I was like, fine. We won't watch an entire TV series. Stupid. But yeah, we have that. We're doing another sponsorship with Factor, which I think you ordered last time. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Nice. Well, Valerius wants it, let me know.
Okay.
Deadass, like, I was going to order it again, and now they require your phone number, and I think it's to keep people like me from ordering again. And I was like, shit, okay, never mind. I tried. I want more food. But it's been going well. Just doing sponsorships, trying to make money. Still not making the most, but making, like, more than I would have expected. Like, this month, just from Twitch alone, I've made, like, $900 before taxes. And that's not including, like, sponsorship money and other little side things we have for it. So that's cool.
That's really good, though.
I know. I would have never thought we were making this much.
That's really good.
I remember last year making $200 one month, and I was like, this is crazy. Basically, I'm making minimum wage. And then I didn't get payout for the next, like, 3 months because we couldn't hit $100.
But now look at you.
But now look at me. It's fine. The stream does, like, go back and forth whether it's good or not, though, because, like, sometimes I've been playing a lot of scary games. I've been playing the Resident Evil series, which is really good. And last night I started Outlast, which is fucking shit your pants scary. And yeah, it was really scary. And I think that people don't watch the stream as much because I'm not playing as consistent games, but I'm having fun. And the people who are there are like talking to me and shit, so it's okay. Yeah, I need to be more consistent about the games though, because especially if that's all I'm doing, I'm like, it's okay. And cool, we're going to the Netherlands in 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, for Thanksgiving and your anniversary.
Yeah, and I'm so scared I'm gonna die on the plane, but hopefully not.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
If I die, nobody I already said this before, nobody be like, oh my god, she was so scared of dying on the plane. Just to be clear, motherfuckers, I'm scared of dying every time I step in a car or do anything at all. I'm always
step
afraid.
Out of the house, basically.
Step out of the house, and I'm like shaking, like, oh my god. Eat food, scared I'm gonna choke to death. It's like, it's a fear, okay?
She's just scared.
Yeah, she's just scared. Don't make a thing out of it for flying specifically. Just know it was always a thing, and that's all. And I got Xanax for the flight, so hopefully that's fine.
That's good.
I know. I keep like telling myself, like, people fly every day, it's fine, like people do, and I'm like, oh. But you know, there are the people who fly and crash. And what if I'm one of those people that would suck? I'd suck real bad. But at least if I'm on Xanax, like, hopefully it's less stressful going down. We'll see. I think we'll see, like, it's confirmed I'm gonna die. I mean, it's still up in the air, no pun intended. We'll see what happens.
You're done.
Yeah, at least we're ending the podcast before the flight, just in case something happens. You guys will never even know. Oh my god, you guys would never know.
Oh my god, yeah.
I guess, okay, I want you to log into everything and be like, Michelle died, by the way. Tell everyone. If I die, someone notify everyone that it happened, and they could all listen to something like, she had a premonition. Pretend that happened. I'm super psychic.
That's true. I mean, I do have access to our Instagram. I can post it there.
You do. I forget that you also have that. I'm like, yes.
I know. You forget. I have given you the login. I never do nothing. I never do anything. I'm just, they're all saved in my phone, but I like don't log in or like post anything.
If I die, whenever I die, be like, I literally just want you to say, like, Michelle died, by the way. I'm just supposed to picture me, like, doing a peace sign or something.
By the way,
she's going to haunt you all.
By the way, this is how Michelle looks like, and she passed away.
Yeah. 5 years from now, just post that. She's coming to get you all. Speaking of Instagram, I'm, like, not totally sure how I'm going to post, because our last episode, I've only posted for my story. I didn't post for years yet. I'm planning on tonight posting for it. But now I feel awkward posting after me posting that we're going to be done. Just being like, but hey, still listen to our last two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to. I just feel kind of funny about it. That's why I haven't posted for years yet. I wanted reassurance, like, yes, post.
Yeah, post.
Okay, I will still post. Literally, that episode came out like 3 weeks ago. I still haven't posted about yours. Holy shit.
I don't even remember what I talked about.
Chester Poge. Versus the solved murders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been so long, you're like, was it creepypasta? I don't know.
No, yeah. To be honest, I just get so tired that I'm like, huh?
Same.
I mean, like for this today, I was like, oh, I don't even remember what I'm doing.
Yeah, we were supposed to record last week and he was already. And I was like, yo, Loki, let's just do a hiatus. And he was like, okay, then let's record in a week. And I was like, sure.
Well, it's because last weekend, yeah, it was because I had stuff going on, did I not?
Probably.
I was like, I always have stuff going on.
You do. You're a busy bee.
Yeah, my wife is always like, bro, you're so busy.
You are. Less busy now, and you might quit your job.
I mean, low-key, I'm still, like, always busy, though.
That's true.
Because I actually, you know, I did, like, tell her, like, oh, we're actually going to quit the podcast. And she was like, what? Why? And I was like, because, you know, we're just both so tired, and it's, like,
yeah.
be too much. And she was like, aw. And I was like, sorry? And then
Leah did the same thing. She called me and she's like, why are you guys quitting? And I was like, we're just tired. It's like everyone else, it seems surprising. I think to us, we're like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen.
But yeah, like today I was like telling, because we actually, you know, we woke up and went to go see Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And, you know, we went with our cousins and they were like, talking about, like, oh, you know, what's the move after the movie? And I was like, well, I gotta go home and record. And I was like, and they were just kind of like, bruh. And then I was like, but don't worry, it's literally our last episode. And they were all like, wait, what? And Alaris was all sad about it. She was like, yeah, they're, like, quitting. And then they were calling me a quitter. And I was like, whatever, man.
Everyone wants to give us grief for being busy. But then as soon as we're like, okay, I won't be as busy, I'm quitting. They're like, oh, you quitter. I'm like, what do you want? Do you want me to quit? Yes or no?
Yeah, that's what I told Laris. I was like, oh, but you used to give me shit and be like, damn, you're going to record, like, again? Or, like, you're always recording, you're always busy. And I'm like, okay. Like,
okay, I won't record. And she's like, what?
What? What do you mean? I mean, it's because she does enjoy listening to us, but she did, like, she does hate that it, like, takes me away from certain stuff. But
yeah, at I wish someone time. Could just research for us and then edit for us and we could just record. Right? But
that'd be nice.
This isn't Crime Junkie. We don't have like a team.
I was like, can we hire an editor?
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be editing this all of the night before it goes out. It's fine. I can do it.
Just think, it's the very last time you're doing it for
the very
this
last time
podcast.
That's what Robert was telling me too. Whenever I was struggling to research in the middle of the night, he's like, "It's the last one. Just fucking do it." And I was like, "Yes, I know. I need to do it, and I make it, need to make it a good one. Not that the other ones are shitty. I don't want you to think I didn't research, but I think I just like seeing family.
I was like, huh? Who's an interesting family?
Well, you'll hear about it soon.
No, I was just gonna say, I actually feel like I'm passing a bit more, which is awesome.
Oh my god, we were just talking about me dying in a plane crash. I thought you meant you're passing away. I was like, what the fuck do you mean? You're that tired? I actually feel myself fading from this life every second I stay here. I was like, bro, you're gonna be able to sleep more. Like, you're being really dramatic about this.
No wonder you look so confused. I was like, why does she look like that? This like, is not bad most, news.
That's the most dramatic thing I've ever heard in my life. I kind of feel myself passing. Oh my god. Okay. You mean as a man.
Yeah. Yes, I meant I passed more as a man.
Holy
my bad.
Shit, I thought you were just being so dramatic. Classic one less spooky shit misunderstanding.
My cheeks hurt.
No, I can see it. I think that the haircut made a big difference. The shorter, even shorter
I think
hair.
So, because I feel like it is a little more masculine.
But I mean, also, you've been on T for over a year now. Congrats.
Yes, thank you. Year. Officially.
Official
1 year on testosterone.
Let's go.
That's crazy. Like,
that's so crazy.
When I look back and like see that first video I made, I was like, damn, like that's me. Like,
that's a baby. Like, what?
Yeah. But yeah, I have been passing a lot more. Like we were just at the Circle K, like right here by my house, and yeah, I was wearing, like, my Tupac hoodie, and the guy was, like, the cashier was, like, oh, bro, have you, like, you know, he just started talking to me, and was, like, oh, have you been to the Tupac Museum? And I was, like, oh, no, I haven't, actually. And he was, like, bro, you gotta go, and just little conversations like that have been helping, like, happening a lot more, and it's, like, oh, cool.
People just assuming that, assuming correctly, for once.
Yeah, assuming correctly, or they'll be, like, okay, sir, like, here's your drink, or whatever. Oh. And I'm, like, that's nice. That's very nice. Or like yesterday at school, one of my classmates, her family came in because she was gonna cut her dad's hair, and then I think her mom and like sisters were there, and they were like making fun of the dad for something, and I just started laughing because, you know, I understood they were talking in Spanish, and I just started laughing, and then she like pointed in and was like, see that, like, that guy over there is laughing at you. And then I was like, oh shit, like
this guy, what do you mean? Say it again.
Yeah, but it's nice, and it's funny because I still do get misgendered though. It actually really it happened literally on Saturday, last Saturday.
Really?
Yeah,
that was like almost exactly the 1 year.
Yeah. Literally. Because we were actually supposed to see Harry Styles on Monday.
Oh, nice.
But he fucking canceled. What a pussy. Which is rude. Actually, was it Saturday? Was it Sunday? No, yeah.
God,
it was,
he's just like that podcast.
It might have been Sunday.
Shit, I fucking hate those. Oh, throws canceling last second and shit.
Well, yeah, he postponed our dates because he actually got sick. And yeah, he moved it till next year in January.
In January. I was like, whoa.
But yeah, we had scheduled a hotel up there because, you know, we wanted, because we actually got floor seats. So Alerts wanted to go. Yeah. We actually went up Sunday night. Because she
was in LA?
Yeah, in Inglewood.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, fairly close to LAX. So yeah, we actually went to go stay up there on Sunday night, and then while checking into the hotel, like, the guy that was helping me, he was, like, very cool. He was like, all right, sir, like, oh, because I was like, oh, we're just here to check in. He's like, okay, sir, like, I just need to see your ID. And then there was another guy behind the counter, and he he was an older dude, and he was just like, that's not a sir, that's a ma'am. And then the guy that was helping me, like, looked at him, like, he looked all confused. Yeah. And then I was just kind of like, whatever.
Did you say anything at all?
I didn't say anything. Because, I mean, then I handed him my ID, and on my ID it does say female. So I'm like, I'm not going to, like, try to correct him and then make him more confused than he already is. But I was kind of like,
he wasn't, like, being malicious, right? He was just like.
No, but in a way, it kind of was.
Accidentally malicious.
Accidentally malicious. It kind of was because, like he didn't even, like, say hello to us or anything. Like, he was just standing there.
That's all he said?
Yeah, that's all he said. And then he moved to the other desk to help, like, people that walked in, like, shortly after us.
Ay, ay, ay.
So, in a way, it was kind of malicious. And I was just kind of like, dude, really?
Yeah. Like, you know? A little bitchy here.
Yeah. I was like, whatever, and I just kind of, you know, just let it go, because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to try to start nothing. I just want to go to bed.
Like, what the fuck did you just say to me?
Right? I was like, actually, it is sir.
Get into a fist fight at this hotel.
My ID says female, but I is a sir, okay?
Yes. I haven't updated yet. It's fine. Takes a second.
But yeah, that's the most recent time that I was, you know. And I was like, damn. But for the most part, I have been passing more, and it's...
Let's go.
And I don't it's really cool.
I think your hair helps. I don't think it's because it's, like, masculine, though. I think it's because it's shorter. You could see more of your face and see that your face has changed a little bit.
Maybe. And I have been kind of letting my wispy hairs grow on my face.
Ooh. Can't wait for the wispy mustache look whenever it comes in.
Yeah,
like
it is.
A rite of passage.
It's because, like, you know, I'm always like, no, I'm not going to shave. I'm going to let it grow out. And then it'll start growing out. And then I'm like, ew, no. And then I shave it.
No, you have to have it. I feel like every trans guy, whenever they have their weird little wispy thing, it's a rite of passage. You actually have to have the creepy little mustache for a little bit.
You know what? I actually have noticed, like, you know, like, people that I follow online, that it is like a rite of passage. Like, there's hella trans guys that literally won't shave for like a whole year and something while taking tea. And I'm like, well, I already failed. I've shaved a few times already.
It's going to look weird at first, but eventually it won't look as weird.
Yeah.
The weirdness is part of the passage, though. You have to do it.
I know. Well, every time I get a haircut, too, they always like shave my long ass sideburn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've thought about it, and I was like, I might just let the goatee and mustache area grow, but will shave like the sides.
If you have a goatee, I literally can't imagine that. That'd be crazy.
I mean, I'm gonna let the hairs grow and see what's up, but I don't know. It's just
see where they grow, how they go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I do have quite a bit of hair, like, under my chin.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of cut it before it gets really long, so I don't know how it really looks.
You don't want to have a full-on neck beard only.
Yeah, not really. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Hey, let's go. Hell yeah. But yeah, if any of you guys go and follow his barber page, you know, maybe he'll post a picture whenever he has a full-on beard goatee look going on. You know, go check it out. Breed and be Satan, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited to see where this barbering career takes me. Actually, a lot of people have been asking me, like, what I'm gonna do after I graduate, and I'm like, I don't know.
give me time. I haven't even graduated yet. Let me think about it.
Yeah, for real. But yeah.
All right. So, all right, I'll start my story then. It's been 3 weeks. It feels weird. Okay. So this week I'm gonna talk about the Bloody Benders.
Bloody Blenders.
Benders, not blenders. Oh,
I heard blenders, my bad.
Like smoothies. So, the Bloody Benders refers to the Bender family. And this is what I was talking about when I said family earlier, and you're like confused. Oh. They're a family of serial killers who lived and killed in Labette County, Kansas from May of 1871 to 1873. I had to talk about that. As soon as I was looking up serial killers and saw a family of serial killers, I was like, okay, cool, we're decided.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would have, like, never pictured that.
Yeah. In the 1800s, too. The Bender family consisted of John Bender Sr., who was possibly born John Flickinger. He was around 60 years old at the time of the murders, and John was born in either Germany, Norway, or the Netherlands. He reportedly spoke very little English, and what he did say was, like, guttural and hard to understand. He was regarded as, quote, a repulsive, hideous brute without a redeeming trait, dirty, profane, and ill-tempered. Just, like, not a cool dude, I guess. The next member of the family was Elvira Bender, who was around 55 years old and spoke a little English. She was noted as being unfriendly, so much so that neighbors called her a she-devil. She was rumored to have been married several times before John Sr., including to one man who she said she had 12 children with.
Goddamn.
Yeah. Rumors also that she killed all of her previous husband and potentially even some of her kids. But of course, this cannot be confirmed.
Nor denied.
Nor denied, yep. There's a lot of rumors surrounding this family. It's like hard to tell what's true or not. But they're real. Like, they're very real. Just no one really knows about them.
That's suspicious. Mm-hmm.
John Bender Jr. was in his mid-20s. He was good-looking with auburn hair and a mustache. While he did speak English fluently, he did have a German accent. He was noted to frequently laugh at nothing, which earned him a reputation as being a half-wit. One article wrote that young Bender, seen when excited, recalled the grave-robbing hyena at once to mind. So he was just like, laugh like a hyena and just look stupid, basically. But some people do theorize that he did this on purpose to hide his cleverness. But, you know, they could be giving him a little bit too much credit. Who knows? It could be the other people in the family that were clever.
True. I guess we don't know.
I know. We'll never know. Isn't that annoying?
Yes.
Next up is Kate Bender, the last member of the family. Kate was in her early 20s, was attractive, educated, and spoke very good English with hardly any accent at all. It's believed that she was Elvira's fifth daughter. Kate advertised herself as a healer and psychic, handing out flyers offering to cure illnesses with her supernatural abilities. She also offered seances and gave lectures on spiritualism. Such lectures reportedly advocated for free love, but taking it very far into the free love by once reportedly saying, quote, "Shall we confine ourselves to a single love and deny our natures their proper way? Even though it be a brother's passion for his own sister, I say it should not be smothered." Some people thought that maybe Kate and John Jr. were not brother and sister and that they were actually married, or that they were brother and sister and were basically married. I mean, she is saying, like, why smother a brother's passion for his own sister? Like, I don't know. That's kind of fucking suspicious.
Super sus.
Yeah. Or maybe, hopefully they just weren't related and she was just saying that shit to cover up in case anyone saw them, like, doing anything. So she could be like, oh, I've always been into incest. But Kate's business in the spiritual field was one of the main attractions at the family inn. It's pretty commonly believed that the Bender family had immigrated from Germany to the U.S., though there's no actual documentation proving this to be true. While Elvira and John Sr. mostly kept themselves, John Jr. and Kate went to Sunday school weekly. And like I said, they were referred to as siblings, but even some of their neighbors thought that they were a couple and were married. So their relation is unknown. And based on what I read, I don't think that John Sr. was at least not Kate's dad. Potentially not even John Jr.'s dad either. Like, it's like they kind of just, like, adopted these names whenever they went here. That's what, it's so frustrating. No one even knows how these people are related. No one knows, like, their real names. No one knows nothing. It's very annoying. The Bender family lived on 160 acres of land in northwestern Labette County, Kansas, around 7 miles northeast of Cherryville, and next to the Great Osage Trail, which at the time was the only open road for travelers heading further west. The land was registered back in late 1870 by both of the Johns, who oversaw the building of a cabin, a barn with a corral, and a well. Within around a year, the two were joined by Elvira and Kate, who planted a 2-acre vegetable garden and apple orchard near the cabin. The cabin was separated into two rooms using, like, a canvas wagon cover as a barrier. The smaller back room was set to be a living area with their beds, while the front room was turned into a general store, where the family sold some dry goods. The store area also had a kitchen and a dining table where wary travelers could stop by to get a warm meal or even stay the night. Crime near the Bender home wasn't exactly unknown. It was already noted as being a popular area for, quote, horse thieves and villains. I love the villains, like very vague there. But in May of 1871, this crime was taken to a new brutal level. A man named Jones was found murdered in Drum Creek, not too far from Labette County. His skull had been crushed in and his throat was cut. While the owner of the creek was suspected for his murder, no one was arrested for it. By February of the next year, whenever the snow had melted, two more bodies were found, men with the same injuries as Jones. Within several months, there were so many stories of people going missing in and around this area that travelers began to avoid the trail in general. In fall of 1872, a man named Johnny Boyle set out from Osage, Michigan with $1,900, which is about $45,000 today, with the intention to buy land. And apparently this was not uncommon for people to just take like their entire fucking savings and be like, I'm going to go traveling, I'm going to go buy a house. And they would just have all this money on them. And I guess they just hope to not run into villainy. Villainy? I don't know.
A thief?
A thief? Thievery? Burglarly?
A burglarly?
We had to say it. We had to do it. Had to do it to him.
Aww.
Oh, burglarly. Oh my god, matching tattoo idea. We get.
Oh, snap.
We get the word burglarly.
Burglarly. With a little spooky shit next to it.
That'd be cute. We gotta get a spooky shit tattoo. We'll discuss.
I'm down.
We could just get the little ghost, honestly. That'd work.
Yeah, the logo is actually pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, right? But anyway, Johnny Boyle never made his purchase and was not seen again. That November, 29-year-old Henry McKenzie also disappeared while walking from Indiana to Kansas, though he only had what would now be $10 to his name. There were suspects in his disappearances and murders, of course, and some had even been run out of town by vigilantes or arrested before being released. But looking back, it's believed that all these people had actually been innocent of these specific crimes, and likely the Benders were the ones responsible for them. In late 1872, George Lunker left his home in Independence, Kansas, to resettle in Iowa with his young daughter, Mary Ann, after his wife passed away. When they still hadn't arrived in Iowa by spring of 1873, their old neighbor, Dr. William Henry York, who had actually sold them their wagon for their travels, grew concerned and went to look for them, questioning those who lived along the trail as he made his way. Dr. York made it to Fort Scott before beginning his journey back home on March 9th, but he never made it back to Independence. Dr. York actually had two brothers who knew of his travel plans, so there was Ed York, who lived in Fort Scott, and Colonel Alexander York, who was a member of Kansas State Senate and lived in Independence. When their brother didn't return home, the two began an all-out search for him, with Colonel York himself leading a group of around 50 men to go question every traveler and homesteader they could find along the trail his brother had taken. On March 28, 1873, Colonel York arrived at the Bender's Inn with a man named Mr. Johnson and explained to the family that he was searching for his brother. The Benders did agree that Dr. York had stayed with them, but they said that he'd left on his own and suggested that perhaps he'd run into trouble with the local Native Americans, a theory which Colonel York thought was very possible. York stayed that night for dinner before leaving the Bender residence. However, on April 3rd, he came back with armed men after he heard a story about a woman who had fled the home after Elvira threatened her with knives. When he attempted to confront Elvira with the story, it appeared that she didn't really understand what he was saying, so her children denied the claim for her. As York kept repeating the story, Elvira suddenly became angry and responded to leave her house, saying that the woman who she'd threatened was actually a witch who'd cursed Elvira's coffee. But in the process of defending herself, she revealed that she actually understood and spoke English much better than she'd originally let on. Before leaving the home again, York was invited by Kate to come back alone on Friday night, saying that she could use her skills as a medium to help locate his missing brother. So they were all, like, totally fooled or anything. York and his group were super suspicious. People in the group even wanted to straight up hang the family, which is, like, kind of fucking dramatic. But York insisted that if they were going to do anything, they had to get evidence first. Despite all these suspicions, none of them were left to keep an eye on the Benders. Around the same time, rumors began to spread that the Osage Nation, a Native American tribe, had been responsible for all the mysterious disappearances. A township meeting was organized with locals and members of the Osage community to discuss the missing people, and they came to the conclusion that they would get a warrant to search all the houses between Big Creek Hill and Drum Creek, where some of the bodies had been found. The two John Benders were present at this meeting, but according to what I read, they remained silent and didn't directly volunteer their home for searching. Not too long later, a local man was passing the Bender home when he noticed that the house appeared to be abandoned and that farm animals were either dead from starvation or looked unfed. While he did report his findings to the town trustee, a search was unable to be made in the house for several days due to bad weather. When a large search party, including Colonel York, finally arrived to the Bender home, they found that it was empty of all their food, clothing, and personal belongings. One thing they did find, though, was a Roman Catholic prayer book with German notes that were later translated, a couple of which read, "Hell Departed" and "Big Slaughter Day, Jan 8th. A bad smell was noted in the cabin, and upon investigating, it appeared to be coming from a trap door in the floor under a bed which had been nailed shut. When they opened this door, they found that it led to an empty cellar below. In searching the cellar, clotted blood was found soaked into the ground, but no bodies were there. The group broke up the surrounding floors with sledgehammers, but they found no bodies, and it was decided that the smell had likely been from blood soaking into the earth. Still aware that this was obviously not a good fucking thing, the group physically moved the cabin so they could dig under it, but no bodies were found. Continuing their investigation, searchers next used a metal rod to poke the ground, especially in the area around the vegetable garden orchard, which appeared to be disturbed. It was in the orchard that Dr. York's body was found later that same evening. He'd been buried face down, his feet not far from the surface. By midnight, an additional 9 suspected grave sites were found, but by then it was already pretty dark, so the actual digging up these burial sites waited until the next morning. All in all, 8 bodies were found in 7 graves of the suspected 9, along with 1 body found in the well. There also appeared to be body parts that may belong to different victims found too. All but 1 victim had their heads bashed in and their throats cut. A newspaper reported that they were all indecently mutilated. Marianne Longcore was the only victim without visible injuries. She was the young daughter of the man who was going to Iowa. And it's suspected that she was either strangled or buried alive with the body of her dead father. It's not clear how old she was. Some websites said 7 or 8. Some cited her as being as young as 18 months old. Word of the murder spread fast, and soon there were more than 3,000 people visiting the home, including reporters from as far as New York and Chicago. Quite a few of these people were souvenir hunters, taking pieces of the home, like literally bricks and stones from like the cellar and well, eventually leaving nothing where the house used to stand. Kind of crazy people would just like get away with that. They'd be like, "I'm going to take this brick." And they were like, "Sure, go for it, bro." It's believed that the main motive behind the murders was robbery. Dr. York, at least, was said to have carried a decent amount of money on him, but not all the victims appeared to be well off, so they likely had been killed just for the thrill of it or because they were mistaken for having money. As for the killing method, it is theorized that before the victim was murdered, they'd be given a seat of honor at the table in the Bender home, which was placed just over the trap door and had the wagon curtain, separating the cabin's 2 rooms behind them. So then Kate would then likely distract the victims, while both John Benders came from behind the curtain and hit the guest with a hammer. Then one woman is thought to have cut the victim's throat to ensure death before dropping them down the trap door. The bodies would next be stripped of any belongings and buried on the property in the middle of the night. There were also several bullet holes in the roof and sides of the cabin, suggesting that some of the victims had tried to defend themselves after getting hit by the hammer. So there were a few people who had possibly been targets of the serial killer family but escaped. One man said that he'd been at the inn when he refused to sit in a certain seat, as the curtain next to it was stained, and he was threatened with a knife by Kate before he fled. A Catholic priest visiting the home noticed one of the Bendermen concealing a hammer, making him uncomfortable enough to quickly leave. Another time, 2 men who had gone to visit the home to experience Kate's psychic abilities declined sitting at the usual table, instead going to sit at the counter in the main shop. Kate reportedly became abusive towards them, and then they noticed a man appearing from behind the cloth and quickly decided to leave, a choice which may have saved their lives. Detectives were soon on the lookout for the Benders, and their wagon, found with abandoned starving horses, was found about 12 miles away from their home. From here, it was learned that the family had bought train tickets heading to Humboldt, Kansas. At some point, John Jr. and Kate got off this train and instead began heading towards Denison, Texas, and then it's believed that they went towards an outlaw colony around Texas and New Mexico. The detectives felt, like, pretty certain that this is where the pair headed. They were not pursued, as many who followed outlaws into this area simply did not return. Just, like, presumably murdered. The older Benders, meanwhile, continued on and are believed to have bought tickets to St. Louis, Missouri. Several groups of people claim to have found the Benders over the years to follow. One group of vigilantes claimed that they caught the Benders and shot them all to death, except for Kate, who they burned alive as they believed her to be a witch. Another group claimed to have caught up to the Benders and lynched them before throwing their bodies into a river, and a third even said that they'd shot them to death and buried them in the prairie. One detective said that they traced the younger Benders and found that John Jr. had died. Despite all these claims and more, the reward for actually finding the family was never claimed, so nobody could ever prove this. In 1884, it was reported that a man named John Flickinger, the possible birth name of John Sr., had committed suicide in Lake Michigan. It was never confirmed if this John was the same to commit the murders in Kansas. And that same year, an elderly man who matched a description of John Sr. was arrested also in Montana for committing a murder in Idaho, where the victim had been hit in the head by a hammer. A request for ID was sent to Cherryville, but by the time a deputy arrived, the man had died. He'd apparently attempted to escape his confinement by cutting off his own foot, but he bled to death in the process. He was too badly decomposed to be confirmed as John Sr. or not. And though his ID was unconfirmed, his skull was displayed in a local saloon for decades as Pa Bender before the Prohibition when it suddenly disappeared. In October of 1889, a Mrs. Almira Griffith and Mrs. Sarah Eliza Davis were arrested again. Were arrested in Michigan for larceny. After being found not guilty and released for these crimes, the pair were arrested again, but this time for being participants in the Bender family murders. The daughter of one of the Bender's victims actually reported the two of them to police after she tracked them down, but she claimed that she knew the two were killers after having dreams about her father's murder and discussing it with Sarah Eliza. The women's identities were confirmed by two Osage witnesses from Picture, and they were arrested on October 30th. With Almira initially saying she wouldn't be taken alive before she was able to be subdued. Sarah Eliza claimed that while Almira was indeed Elvira Bender, she herself was not Kate, but actually a different daughter of the older woman named Sarah. Almira herself denied this and said that Sarah Eliza was indeed Kate Bender. While his accusations may have seemed like a huge breakthrough in the case, it was found that Sarah Eliza had actually been married and living in Michigan at the time the murders were taking place, making it unlikely that she'd been involved. And while it's recognized that the two women were definitely criminals and liars, ultimately the charges against them were found to be too weak and were dropped, and many people doubt that they were even the Benders. These women were not the only ones identified or even arrested as possibly being involved in the Bender family murders, though. Actually, immediately after finding the bodies, locals were suspicious and lashed out at friends of the Benders. One man named Brockman was interrogated and hanged until he lost consciousness, then resuscitated and hanged again repeatedly. Eventually, his interrogators resigned to his apparent innocence, and he was left to stagger home, quote, as one who was drunken or deranged. Several weeks later, a local man and his son-in-law were arrested for being accessories in the murder. In total, over 10 men of bad repute in general were eventually arrested as accessories, including Brockman, the one who had been tortured and interrogated, for crimes varying from forging letters from victims to disposing of the dead's personal items. So none of them were actually arrested for murder. It was just more they were involved in the other side of it. And don't feel too bad for the guy who was tortured, because apparently he was also later arrested for raping and killing his teenage daughter. Though there are many rumors and legends surrounding the Bender family and who they were, the fact does remain that the bodies of several people were found on their land and more could have been their victims elsewhere. As of today, it is still unknown what happened to the Benders after they fled their home in Kansas. The end.
Suspicious.
Yes. Also, everyone was so down to hang everyone back then. It's wild. every three paragraphs. Anyway, they wanted to hang them, but we're like, oh, we should wait. Did hang him, then they let him go, then they hung him again. I'm like, bro, what the fuck?
Should have just hung him.
Should have just hung him, I guess. Apparently, he ended up doing some fucked up shit.
So, yeah. Now I'm going to talk about David Edward Most.
Okay.
He was an American serial killer and pedophile.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's not the best.
I guess most serial killers aren't. I've heard that. Like, this one's pretty chill, actually.
How would that even work? A chill serial killer?
It wouldn't. It would be like Pola Dexter, the killer serial killers, except for Dexter also killed not serial killers sometimes.
True. So, David Edward Most was born in Kernelsville, Pennsylvania in 1954. He was the second oldest of four kids to George and Eva Most. I guess his last name was Amish. Well, of Amish origins. It didn't say that he was Amish, but I guess like...
His family name.
His family name and stuff like that. I guess his father divorced and actually left his mother when David was 7 years old.
Jeez.
And about a year later, when he was 8 years old, his mother actually sent him to live with his father. But that did not work out at all.
Like, he didn't want him.
He did it. Literally the very next day, he sent him back to his mom.
Jesus, that's awkward.
And, she didn't want him either, basically.
Yeah. Okay, come on, you guys. We gotta figure something out here.
Yeah, they basically did not want him. Well, yeah, I guess his father, George, was apparently raised in foster homes. Like, he, I guess, was also not wanted as a kid, so he kind of continued the cycle.
Didn't want his kid.
Yeah, basically. But, yeah, I guess his parents... His dad's parents died when he was around 12, and he just grew up in foster homes and
yikes.
Was alone and stuff. But yeah. According to records, his mother was described as disturbed, psychotic, barely functioning, needy, and narcissistic. All the traits you want in a mother.
Yeah, fun combo.
She had a nervous breakdown after her son Jeffrey was born. And she actually had spent a month in the mental hospital in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, after it didn't work out at his dad's, his mom decided to send him to a mental institution.
Naturally.
And he was at the age of 9.
Sheesh, that's young.
And yeah, she basically checked him in there, and she claimed that he set fire to his younger brother's bed and later had tried to drown him.
Before he was checked into this or after?
No, well, like, that's why she checked him in.
Oh,
basically.
Okay. I thought it was just kind of random. She didn't want him, so she was like, you here. And then he lashed out. But, okay.
But, yeah. However, a later report on David said that the institution where he was confined was actually, like, called it a snake pit because it was filled with children who were more often than not there because family members were mentally ill. And couldn't or wouldn't take care of him.
Jesus.
Which I'm like, that's really sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. Dark.
But yeah, I guess the institution, like, themselves feel, or like, the people, they say that, like, it definitely felt like David's mother just dumped him there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess David had, like, no incidents of serious misbehavior during his years at the hospital. They did not basically see any of what his mom said he would like act like. They did not observe any lying, stealing, or out of control behavior that his mother reported as the basis for committing her son.
Okay.
He was generally described, as in reports, as appealing, sensitive, and a reliable child, but deeply disturbed by his parents' rejection and preoccupied with the threat of abandonment. Which I'm like, that's pretty sad.
It is.
When his mother was asked to be specific about the trouble she claimed David caused during his occasional home visits, she became evasive and stated that she just didn't want him there.
Should have said that in the first
place. I know. Like, you could have just led with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess he would just stand staring out the window during visiting hours, waiting for his mother to show up.
Yikes.
The staff noted, "It is pitiful to see the ways in which he is always trying to reassure himself, excusing his mother to staff and explaining she's ill, her back is bothering her, etc." At the hospital, David was well behaved but despondent over his mother's failure to visit him with any regularity. After David left the hospital, he went to live at a children's home where, at the age of 13, he was subjected to unwanted sexual advances by another boy. But, I mean, the staff at the hospital never witnessed anything, but I guess he did, in fact, have an early history of violence.
Oh.
And they discovered a lot of it in his diary. But yeah, they found a lot out after, like, reading his diary, because I guess he documented, and I have a lot of, like, little excerpts from his diary.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I guess in 1969, David attacked a boy in a scenario that would be replayed throughout his life. He choked a boy named Eddie while they were playing. And this is, like, his quote, "For no reason at all, I started to choke him. I told him I was sorry, and he said it was okay. Eddie was the first person I hurt. There would be others." At the age of 15, David choked a boy named Daniel with a rope while the two watched television. He wrote, "I could not stop, and I had no reason to be doing this to him. I told myself this is enough, and I quit, and then I let go of the rope. Daniel fell to the floor. It was like I was trapped inside of me, and someone else was trying to kill Daniel, and I could not stop." His brother Jeffrey remembered David beating a squirrel to death with a baseball bat for fun. Yeah. Which I'm like, okay, he was deserved.
Yeah, fuck.
And I guess Jeffrey also recalled that David had been molested at an early age. Despite his mother's promise that he could live at home with the family, including his stepfather, David went to live at the Olich Children's Home. He was transferred back to Chicago State Hospital in 1970, but ran away and never returned to the facility. After his escape, he went to his first Cubs game, where he said Chicago beat Houston 12-8. And I guess, yeah, he was, like, a big sports person, and most of his memories, like, he also remembers, like, sport facts. Oh, like, that's kind of how, yeah, that's kind of how he remembers stuff, is also with, like, sports. He then returned to the home of his mother, who had remarried. And, I mean, she still didn't want him, and she got a knife. Well, this is what he wrote in his diary. "She got a knife and was coming at me with a knife, telling me to get out of her house right now, or she was going to stab me with the knife. She later apologized. My mother told me, 'David, I'm sorry, I just don't want you in my house.'" Yikes. His mother, I'm like, that's, I would be so sad.
Oh, yeah.
His mother then shipped him off to live with an uncle in Wrightsville, Georgia. He worked in construction for his uncle and was a skilled worker, but was eventually fired after crashing a company truck. In 1971, David returned to live with his mother in Chicago. At her suggestion, he enlisted in the U.S. Army. He completed basic training at Fort Lewis and AIT at Fort Ord, and in 1972 was stationed in Frankfurt, Germany. He served as a cook and was by all accounts an able serviceman. He was also a keen bowler. averaging scores as high as 297.
Jesus.
Which I'm like, that's pretty high.
What the fuck?
I was like, I think I'd maybe get to 100. But yeah, I guess he won numerous awards and money prizes in his army bowling league, which I'm like, that's pretty cool, but... but yeah, he just was an interesting guy. He was actually known as Crazy Dave to neighborhood kids.
Oh.
Which I'm like, I wouldn't want that nickname.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that.
But yeah, in 1974, while he was stationed in Germany, he said he committed his first murder. David wrote that he awoke in his room to find a 13-year-old boy who he had befriended named James, sleeping naked on top of him. He said he, too, was undressed. This episode upset him, and a month later, he and the boy went for a moped ride in the nearby forest. Brandishing a knife, David led the boy deeper into the woods. There, he tied the boy to a tree and beat him with his fist. Then a board. I never told anybody the truth about that night because it was a sad, bad thing. He was a very good boy and he did not deserve what happened to him on that sad night in May. I was angry with myself because I did not know what to do for the boy now. So I picked Jimmy up so I could take him deep into the woods to hide him. And after about 10 feet, Jimmy died in my arms. I put leaves over him to hide him, and then I left the woods. He wrote, he had promised himself nearly 7 months earlier that he would kill Jimmy when the boy had grown out his hair. I thought to myself at that moment that when Jimmy gets long hair, I am going to kill him. When I killed Jimmy on that day, Jimmy had long hair. About a month later, the body of the boy was found in a bomb crater, said Ronald Zeke, who was a friend of Dave's and a sergeant assigned to the same base. He was court-martialed and convicted of involuntary manslaughter and larceny. He claimed that the boy's death was a result of an accident on a moped which he had stolen. In an interview, Ronald said David's defense lawyer argued that the boy died after he crashed the moped because some teens threw a screwdriver into the spokes of the tires. He said David was convicted of manslaughter because prosecutors could not find any witnesses in the case. He was sentenced to 4 years of prison at Fort Leavenworth. He requested not to be paroled, but was released in 1977, despite his wishes. Which that's I'm like...
interesting.
I'm like, if they're telling you they don't want to get out, you should probably listen to them.
Yeah, probably a reason.
Yeah, and there was. Because after he was released from Leavenworth, David's behavior got worse. In 1979, in his apartment in Chicago, David stabbed a friend while he was sleeping, and he was tried by it for attempted murder. Which is like, just because his like friend was sleeping and he just decided to fucking stab him.
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm glad that he didn't die at least. But
I know. I think he was like literally one of the only lucky ones. Ugh. In 1981, in August, he went looking for a teenage boy that he had had sex with several years before. He wrote that he thought that homosexual act was the cause of his bad behavior and wanted to kill the teen. But when David got to the boy's Chicago home, he was told that the teen was in jail. David said he saw another boy, 15-year-old Donald Jones, walking by and lured him into his car. He took Donald to a quarry in Elgin and stabbed him in the stomach.
Oh.
I can still hear Donald Jones saying to me, I'm only 15 years old, please don't kill me, he wrote. He then took Donald to the water and drowned him.
Oh, that's really sad.
He then fled to Texas, where he stabbed another teenager in a hotel room. The teen was 14 years old. David was arrested and sentenced to 5 years for causing bodily injury to a child. Years later, David recounted his killings and stabbings in the diary, which he turned over to investigators in 1983. I have been thinking about Donald Jones a lot and what I did to him on that Sunday in August. And I have been thinking about the bad thing I did in my life, and now I would like to have the death sentence. I would like to die, David wrote.
Whoa.
When I'm like, he knew.
He's very self-aware, which is weird.
Very. That's why, kind of why I chose him, because I was like, usually
they don't want to get caught, and he like...
Yeah, and he was very much so like, yeah, like, kill me, please. Don't let me out.
That's weird. He's very aware that he can't control himself.
Yeah. When I got locked up in the army, and then especially when I got locked up in 1981, I knew I should never be let out again. I don't know how to act around other people, and I was never taught how to make friends or keep them. When an inmate says he doesn't want out, I hope that somebody listens. In 1982, while in jail in Texas, David was extradited to Illinois for the Jones murder. In 1983, David wrote that he was happy to be held in the disciplinary barracks at Fort Leavenworth. The people there thought I was crazy, that I wanted to stay, but I did not think I was crazy. I was happy there, and I was not hurting anyone. I was scared to go back there in the real world. I cried so much that all I wanted was to stay there. Which is like, what?
Yeah.
A fact sheet was sent to the Illinois Department of Corrections by the Cook County State Attorney's Office after this conviction. It said, "This inmate is most likely the most dangerous inmate you will house." The prosecutor urged that David must be kept incarcerated, but under law, he is eligible for this early release. He wrote a 5-page letter to Illinois Department of Corrections requesting to not be released from prison. But he did not meet the criteria to be placed in any other kind of facility. But yeah, the Cook County Sheriff's police officers, like, they definitely, like, did push, like, for him to stay in jail, and they actually compared him to Gacy. They said, bad guy, Gacy type. And I was like, oh, shit.
Ew. We talked about him before.
Yeah.
He's awful.
And he was originally found unfit to stand trial and was held in mental health facilities. Ultimately, after those hospitalizations and roughly 10 years in jail, awaiting trial, he pleaded guilty in 1994 and was sentenced to 35 years. However, he received credit for the 12 years he was held and time off for good behavior. Thus, he served 17 years altogether and was released in 1999.
Boy wants to stay in jail. Stay.
And they were like, no, actually.
Yeah, what the fuck?
In 2001, David hit an acquaintance 6 times in the back of the head with a metal pipe in another attempted murder. But he was not prosecuted because the acquaintance, although he reported the incident to police, did not want to pursue prosecution. And I read in one article, Don't quote me on this, but mm-hmm. I guess that acquaintance, they said it was like a closeted gay man. So that's
why he didn't want to.
Yeah, he didn't want to like pursue any charges and stuff like that.
Oh.
Because he was young too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure how true that is because there's not much information, but I kind of believe it.
I could see that being a thing for sure.
Yeah. On December 12, 2003, he was arrested for the death of James Raganai, who was 16. He had strangled him. James's body was found encased in concrete in David's basement in Hammond, Indiana. He was later charged with the deaths of Michael Dennis, 13, and Nick James, 19, similarly wrapped in plastic and encased in concrete in his home. In November of 2005, he pleaded guilty for the three murders and was sentenced to three life terms in late 2006.
Finally, dude.
I mean, it took three more bodies.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That they found in his basement.
How many people did he have to kill before he was finally guns wishing? For real.
Literally, after the first one, if they would have kept him, like, he wouldn't have killed all these other kids.
Yeah. Like, if he's literally saying, hey, don't let me go, I'll do it again. You believe him.
For real. In January of 2006, after about a month after his last sentencing, David committed suicide by hanging himself in his jail cell.
Whoa.
He used a bed sheet braided into a rope to hang himself. He was taken to a hospital where he died. And I guess jail guards actually found a suicide note in his cell. In the note, he admitted to the five killings and apologized to the victims' families. Maybe with my death, the families and the people can go on with their lives and not waste energy wondering why I am still alive. Which I'm like, wow.
It's very, like, he's very self-aware of himself. I'm so not used to when we talk about these stories.
For real.
Usually they kill themselves and they're like, it wasn't me, fuck you, ha ha ha.
And I also do remember reading in this other article that I guess he committed suicide shortly after they told him he was going to be, like, moved. I forgot. But basically they told him he was going to be, like, moved somewhere else, like, not high, like, security prison or something like that, or, like, gen population.
Oh, that, so, yeah. I heard that's bad for pedophiles.
Yeah, so he, like, just... He just offed himself before that.
Damn.
But I mean, good things came out after this. I guess his case helped lead Indiana public officials to pursue a state amendment requiring for violent offender registry for convicted murderers.
Nice.
If available, the registry might have reduced the chance of David's continuous of murder upon release. Indiana Code Section 11887 provides that sex or violent offenders must register with a local law enforcement authority. In that section, it defines a sex or violent offender to include a person convicted of murder. It was enacted in July of 2006. As of this date, there are four types of offenders. The first is sexually violent predators. The second is offenders against children. Third is sex offenders. And fourth is violent offenders. There are two registry terms of enrollment, 10 years and life. And basically, if they had this before, like, he would have never seen. He would have never gotten out.
Yeah, dude.
But yeah. In 2009, an official biography entitled Bloodstained, When No One Comes Looking, was released by Dory Most. Dory is actually married to a distant relative of David.
Oh.
Yeah. And I guess she was contacted by his brother, Jeffrey, and, like, he asked her to basically write a book about him. And she said no to him, but did do it.
End up changing her mind.
Well, I mean, I guess she said no from doing it his way, or, like, his version of things.
Yeah.
But she did decide to do it, but with the help of the attorney of Tom, his attorney, Tom Faines, because, I mean, he was there.
Maybe the brother wanted it to be in more of a positive light for him, and she was like, no.
Maybe, I don't know, but yeah, she did release it, but
okay.
She didn't really want to work with Jeffrey, it sounded like. But yeah, that's the kind of crazy story of a self-aware serial killer.
I know. We have a family of them and a self-aware one. What a way to end the show.
For real. But yeah, he was like in his 50s when he committed suicide. So he was...
Damn.
But yeah. I'm like, damn, dude.
That's sad. Yeah, I will still post about these stories. you guys wanted to like see these, follow... I mean, I don't know if you need to follow the pages anymore. But if you wanted to see anything about them or any of our old episodes... Our Twitter and Instagram are spookyshit_pod. And you can email us anything you want. I don't know. You want to? thespookyshit.pod@gmail.com. I'm like, I don't know how to email this.
I don't want to.
I know. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah,
if
it's been...
If you only just started, if you've been here the whole time, thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, I just kind of want to cry.
I, like, all this week, I, like, almost wanted to cry, but at the same time, I feel relieved. It's, like, bittersweet.
Yeah, for sure. It is.
It's weird. But I'm glad we did it. We did it. I think we did a pretty decent job. We had so many audio issues along the way with the pandemic. We still have audio issues. That's okay.
We had a good run.
We had a good run. We did it. And who knows? Maybe we'll do it again someday.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right.
This is goodbye for now, not forever.
Yeah. Oh my god, that was a sad thing to say. Thank you guys so much.
All yeah,
of
thank
our
you.
Little shits.
All of you. We shits. Love you.
We love you guys. Thank you.
A lot. We kept going for you guys.
Yep. I know. I think I was a little over it before, like a few months ago, probably. And I kept going because I was like, no, people listen. It's okay.
Yeah.
But just can't anymore.
Yeah,
I'm
we
sorry.
Just yeah, we can't no more. But stay tuned. You can still follow us in our lives.
Yeah, follow us the Boon Vape and the Braden B. Faden. See what we're up to.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's it for now, I guess.
I love you.
I love you guys.
Don't forget about me.
Don't you.
That just made it sadder.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And goodbye. Oh, that's sad.
Beer, beer, beer.
What else do we say? Gay.
Gay.
You say all the things gay. Oh my god. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
No. Thank you. It's been spooky.
It's been spooky. Keep it spooky, everyone. After this 5-minute long goodbye. Goodbye.
I can't believe it. We actually ending.
I know.